News Team coverage. 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by the Town Crier Wire. Download the free local news app today. Governor Gretchen Whitmer says the trend on Michigan's COVID-19 cases is headed in the wrong direction. The governor tells us the rising number of positive cases is not helping efforts to reopen more businesses.
The numbers are important, that percentage of hospitalizations, the percentage of positive cases, or tracing, how quickly we can trace, but with the overlay of context about where are those cases coming from. And that's the two-part analysis that we have to do and that every state in the country is doing right now.
Whitmer says tracing is important to find and isolate COVID cases that can help to keep the numbers down and reopen more of the state. Meanwhile, Michigan continues to see cases of COVID-19 increase, making a rollback of the reopening more likely. For Wednesday, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services reported 610 additional cases of the illness statewide. The total of cases around the state is now up to 67,237, with just under 53,000 recovered as of last Friday. The state passed the 6,000 deaths mark this week, reporting 10 new deaths from COVID on Wednesday. The total is now 6,015. Berrien County had 14 new cases of COVID-19 to report for the day, making the total 790 with 60 deaths since the start of the pandemic. Cass County had 5 new cases for the day, making its total 159 with 6 deaths. Van Buren County had 10 new cases for the day, making the county's total 229 with 7 deaths. Meanwhile, the governor is giving another COVID update tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. New legislation from State Representative Pauline Wenzel would increase the penalties for voter fraud. She tells us, as an unprecedented number of absentee ballots will be cast this year in Michigan, it is important to ensure there are strong deterrents to fraud.
If people are feeling unsafe and they don't want to go in person to vote, they can request their absentee ballot and to continue doing that. But what we're trying to do is just stop people that are trying to break the law and trying to vote more than one time.
Wenzel says residents who once lived in Southwest Michigan who have since moved to other states like Florida and Maryland have reached out to her office to say that ballot applications were sent to their old addresses even though they're living in and registered in new states. Her bill would make it a felony for an individual to knowingly submit an absentee voter application using another person's name or personal identification information. The plan would also make it a felony to complete applications with the intent to receive multiple ballots. She's hoping the bill can get a hearing before the House Elections Committee in the next few weeks. Legislation that would speed up an FCC program to roll out broadband internet in rural areas has the backing of Congressman Fred Upton. He tells us the Rural Broadband Acceleration Act would move up the distribution of the FCC's Rural Digital Opportunity Fund.
For Michigan, we'll get more than $1 billion in the next 10 years. And that work can actually start as early as this fall. And so as we look at schools that are hoping to start up again this fall, we know that it'll be most likely a limited school activity day of events. It's unlikely that kids are going to be going to school 5 days a week.
Upton says many rural areas are lacking reliable broadband, and that's going to leave them behind in this pandemic. He's hoping to see the Rural Broadband Acceleration Act approved this summer so it can lead to shovel-ready internet projects beginning in time for the new school year. The Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan could use some help. Marketing coordinator Cy Sumsanith tells us they shut down to visitors back in March when the pandemic struck and just started to reopen this month. During the COVID quarantine, the Humane Society had to cancel some major events like Bets for Pets.
It's our big one for the year. We actually had to postpone that to November. And then we usually have smaller events like Give Back Nights, beer releases, things of that nature.
And those had to be canceled as well. Sumsanith says due to all the fundraising events not happening this year, the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan's in need of operating support. They've held a few online fundraisers in recent months and launched another one this week. He says any support the public could give would be appreciated. He also notes if you'd like to adopt an animal, that is now once again possible, although they're following safety protocols. You can find a link to their fundraiser at the Humane Society's website. Governor Gretchen Whitmer last week announced the creation of the Michigan Office of Future Mobility and Electrification. Its goal is to work across state government and private industry to enhance Michigan's mobility system and pave the way for more electric and autonomous vehicles. Named as Michigan's chief mobility officer was Trevor Paul, who tells us the office is about more than just cars.
It's tied to transportation, but the word automotive isn't in there, meaning that it includes automotive, but it also includes all the other different ways that people and goods move around our state.
Paul says his work will involve things like shipping and mass transit. He notes much has to be done to develop systems for deploying autonomous vehicles, something he thinks will be a benefit to the state.
There's been almost 10,000 fatal car crashes in Michigan over the last decade. And I think the average, national average, is about 94% of those are attributed to human error. And frankly, the sooner we can deploy smart infrastructure, the more lives are going to be saved.
Paul wants to vigorously expand the state's charging station network. Governor Whitmer says it's more important than ever that the state help industry grow by meeting its needs for mobility. And how about a game of Monopoly, but with a South Haven theme? Shout for South Haven had just that idea, and that's why it's now selling copies of South Haven-opoly. Shout's Rosalie Placati tells us the group worked with a Michigan company called Opoly Games to make the locally oriented board game. Featuring local businesses and attractions, the game also replaced the fate cards with something local.
It could be something as specific as street repairs along Broadway and Center. You have to pay $40 per house, which is pretty funny because everybody can relate to the streets around here.
Placati says the railroads are all replaced with blueberry farms, and the game pieces include sailboats, blueberries, and lighthouses. It's not the first time South Haven's had its own Monopoly game.
And I guess it did happen back in 1989, which we did find a game from 1989, and we gave it to our historical association, and we'll give one of the new ones for the historical association. And some things are still the same.
She says that there are 350 South Havenopoly games for sale, and you can get them at the South Haven Visitors Bureau. All the proceeds will go to Shout for South Haven. WSJM News Now continues with your Bloomberg report. WSJM News Now continues. Mixed messages coming from the White House Coronavirus Task Force today. Some members suggesting it's not safe to gather indoors, while others push to move children back into classes this fall. ABC's Andy Field has details from Washington.
Coronavirus Task Force leader Dr. Deborah Birx pushing back on the president's demands that businesses and schools reopen, saying that no indoor gathering is safe or advisable now.
And ask the American people to stop going to bars, to close the bars, to move to outdoor dining, to decrease indoor, any kind of indoor gathering.
But the president on Twitter threatening to cut funding to schools that don't bring children back this fall. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Speaking of which, President Trump continuing to push for a full reopening of schools. The issue sparking significant debate as parents, teachers, students, public health officials, and education leaders weigh in. ABC's Karen Travers has the latest from the president.
President Trump on Twitter threatened he, quote, may cut off funding if schools don't reopen in the fall. He did not say what funding he would cut off or to whom. But the tweet comes after the president on Tuesday said he would put significant pressure on governors to get kids back into the classroom. Mr. Trump also said he disagreed with the CDC on their guidelines for opening schools. They include recommendations that students and teachers wear masks when possible, social distancing in classrooms, and staggered schedules for students. President said in a tweet the guidelines are, quote, very tough and expensive. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Atlanta's mayor says that she'll sign an executive order mandating masks in Georgia's largest city. A spokesperson for Keisha Lance Bottoms says the mayor will sign the order today. The move could set up a confrontation with Republican Governor Brian Kemp, who has clashed with Bottoms recently over policing issues. Bottoms and other leaders in the state have unsuccessfully appealed to Kemp to change his order that local governments cannot exceed the state's requirements. Atlanta would not be the first Georgia locality to mandate face coverings. Savannah and the Atlanta suburb of East Point were joined on Tuesday by Athens-Clark County. The governor of Wisconsin says the state's Supreme Court decision cost lives during the pandemic. ABC's Ryan Burrow has more.
In May, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court threw out Governor Tony Evers' safer at home order. It's a decision that still frustrates the governor today.
We would have saved more lives.
He believes the ruling also stripped him of the ability to mandate masks across the state.
We're looking at it, but frankly, the Supreme Court has made it very much more complex than what it ever should have been.
COVID-19 cases have doubled in Wisconsin in the last month. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
A national coalition of labor leaders, along with racial and social justice organizations, will stage a mass walkout this month to protest systemic racism. Dubbed the Strike for Black Lives, tens of thousands of workers will walk off their jobs July 20th, according to details shared exclusively with the Associated Press. Workers around the economy, including fast food, rideshare services, nursing homes, and airports in more than 25 cities, will strike to demand action from corporations and the government to dismantle white supremacy and to ensure the health, safety, and economic well-being of every worker, according to organizers. The United States Supreme Court ruled today that religious employers are exempt from birth control coverage. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
The Affordable Care Act required employers to offer free birth control to their workers. The Supreme Court said the Trump administration had the authority to provide exemptions from the regulatory contraceptive requirements for employers with religious and conscientious objections. The 7-2 decision is a victory for the Little Sisters of the Poor, which Justice Thomas said had to fight for the ability to continue in their noble work without violating their sincerely held religious beliefs. Opponents said the ruling would deprive tens of thousands of women affordable birth control. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
New Mexico's Democratic governor has signed legislation to require that police officers wear body cameras as a deterrent against excessive use of force. The policing reforms signed today apply to local and state law enforcement officers with the exception of tribal agencies. The state's Democratic-led legislature approved the bill in June during a four-day special session. The governor first called for the requirement amid demonstrations set off by George Floyd's killing at the hands of Minneapolis police. We're hearing more from the Trump administration on the possible ban of the popular app TikTok. The latest from ABC's Alex Stone.
TikTok has over 65 million active monthly users in the U.S. sharing 15-second videos. It's owned by a Chinese company. And now after India banned TikTok over security concerns, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is explaining why the U.S. might do the same.
We are now evaluating each instance where we believe that U.S. citizens' data that they have on their phones or in their system or in their healthcare records, we want to make sure that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't have a way to easily access that.
Pompeo saying a decision on TikTok has not been made. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And you can't stop rock and roll, even during a pandemic, with this year's induction ceremony at the Hall of Fame going virtual. Details now from ABC's Matt Wolf in New York.
Rock's biggest night will look a little different this year. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame swapping out their live ceremony, which was scrubbed in May because of the pandemic, with a special honoring the class of 2020. A lineup including the Doobie Brothers, T-Rex, the Notorious B.I.G., Nine Inch Nails, Depeche Mode, and Whitney Houston. The special will air on HBO and HBO Max November 7th. Then look for the 2021 ceremony to return next fall back at the Rock Hall's home base in Cleveland. Matt Wolf, ABC News.
WSJM News now continues with your weather forecast brought to you by True Blue Financial.